The tension was palpable as leader after leader called out the Cian Corlea with those fighting words, "You no longer retain our confidence." "I fully intend to continue," said Verona Murphy. "A motion is drafted. She has until the end of the week to go, or the trigger is pulled, and then the government pulls a counter-motion." We've seen the good, the bad and the ugly this week. We haven't seen trigger fingers, but we've seen fingers all right. Raised fingers and raised thumbs besides. Government accused of doing nothing but voting through a few dollars more for junior ministers. More fighting talk. Democracy itself hangs in the balance, we're told. And the question we're asking you tonight, listener, is what showdown tunes would you like to suggest? And no, the music for the AAA Golden Maverick ad doesn't count on this programme. Send your suggestions to 51551. WhatsApp us on 0870 32 32 32. Or your suggestions to Blue Sky on @LateDebateRTE. Now, still with us, listening to all of that, we still have our panel and Tabitha. Today, I suppose we'll get to where it started with the private member's motion on the triple lock later on, but leaders' questions today, that's where the main action was. Talk us through it.
Yeah, that's when it kicked off today at 12 o'clock. It was tense, probably not quite as fiery as we saw yesterday when there was quite a lot of chaos, deafening noise from the opposition anyway. When I was in the press gallery, it really was incredibly loud. So it was very much a different approach from the opposition this time round. We did know that it was coming, that the leaders were going to take the opportunity during leaders' questions to say that they no longer had confidence in Cian Corlea Verona Murphy, that it was particularly centred on how she handled what happened in the Dáil yesterday around the vote, around the passing of the order of business in particular. So that's kind of where things went. So we heard from each of the opposition leaders, starting with Mary Lou MacDonald, who outlined why they didn't have confidence anymore.
We actually have a clip, a composite clip. We have Mary Lou MacDonald, Micheál Martin and Ivana Bacic. Let's have a listen to it.
Cian Corlea, you took a wrecking ball to Dáil procedure to facilitate this charade. Not alone have you lost the confidence of the entire opposition, you have in fact decimated it. And the Dáil cannot function properly whilst you remain in the chair. Your position is therefore untenable. So I ask you to reflect very carefully on this because you need to go.
Your declaration of a lack of confidence in the Cian Corlea is a further installment in your overall strategy declared before the Dáil Met of total opposition, and you will do everything to undermine the institutions of the state, which you've never been very loyal to in your long history.
And we had, as I say, Ivana Bacic spoke as well. I think we have that there too.
Great regret that I expressed the view that the Cian Corlea's position is untenable. But let's be clear, this is a mess of your making, the government's making, and you, in collusion with Michael Lowry, and I do agree with you on one thing, it was deeply wrong of any deputy, of Michael Lowry, it was deeply wrong of him to give two fingers in the National Parliament. Deeply wrong. You said it was wrong. I hope you're going to call on him to apologise. I hope the Cian Corlea will call on him to apologise.
You omitted to say what Deputy Paul Murphy did was wrong. What Deputy Murphy did yesterday, waving phones around, is unacceptable behaviour in this Dáil.
So that gives a flavour of what went on during leaders' questions today. Obviously, they weren't the only people speaking, so... But that was pretty much the tenor of it, wasn't it?
It was. And like you heard from the clips there as well, not only was the Cian Corlea the focus as well, but Michael Lowry and that gesture that was all over the front pages today of the newspapers and also widely shared on social media, that gesture that he gave to Paul Murphy while Paul Murphy was taking a video in the Dáil. Yes, he did issue a statement after that today. We did hear the Taoiseach saying that it wasn't good enough that somebody would make a gesture like that. Michael Lowry saying that the gesture was taken out of context, but that it also there was no malicious intent behind it.
It was an errant gesture, I think he said. Was that right?
Yes, correct. It wasn't the longest of statements ever, but he did address it in the end. And I know when the Taoiseach was saying, you know, if anybody did make a gesture like that, I would think that they need to apologise. And Michael Lowry was shaking his head, you know, while those comments were being made by the Taoiseach.
Okay. Right, let's get into it. We'll start with the position of the Cian Corlea. Rory Hearn, to you first. On what basis is the Cian Corlea's head been called for?
Yeah, thanks, Colm. I think you were asking about showdown music there. I was thinking Apocalypse Now actually would probably be pretty good. The Doors song, This Is The End. And you remember that sergeant on the beach where he said, I like the smell of napalm in the morning. I was thinking that's Michael Lowry saying, I like the smell of opposition time in the morning.
It's Colonel, Colonel Kilgore is his name. But anyway,
that's the guy. That's
the guy. We'll let you away with that. Go on.
I think that, you know, this goes back to the creation of the Count Corlett position, in that the getting Verona into position, getting Verona Murphy into position, was part of a deal that was made to create this government. And when you look at it, it was Michael Lowry and the regional independents said that the price of their going into government was the creation of the Count Corliss, the Verona getting that position.
Why I'm putting that in context,
sure, but okay?
She ran for election. There were a number of candidates there. Angus O'Snodig, John McGuinness, Sean O'Farrell, all ran for that position as well. There was a secret ballot held and she won it.
She did.
And
she
she's
did,
not the first person, you know, there have been party political nominations before. So how does that disqualify her from being Count Corliss?
It didn't disqualify her from being Count Corliss, but what has happened subsequently is the way she has conducted herself, particularly in this last week, but to leave us get up to this position, and has left us in this situation where we saw in the Dáil that the order of business was she declared it passed. It wasn't passed, that in terms of, you know, people weren't given sufficient time. And I think that her position, we are calling for, you know, putting forward the motion in terms of no confidence, because we don't have confidence in her independence now. And that's the reality of it. And I think that, you know, it's her actions have shown that we're in an awful, awful situation. Just to say, like, the scenes, you know, that we saw were absolutely, you know, just shocking as a first time TD. But to have allowed it to get there, you know, it was Micheál Martin, it was a Taoiseach who brought us there in their failure to actually engage the opposition in a serious way to try and get changes around this.
All right, Anne Robert.
Now, Rory, I don't wish to correct you at the very start, but to be honest with you, they have facilitated 22 hours of between Dáil reform and whips meeting to get us to the point of where we landed here on Tuesday. There has at all times, and to be fair to the Ciarán Cóirle, she has chaired all of those meetings and all whips have sat around the table. And at no stage towards the end could agreement be made other than to bring it into the Dáil for a vote. So to say that there wasn't engagement and to say there wasn't dialogue, all whips, parties and none, were part and parcel of that.
Speaking of whips, will government TDs be whipped to support the Ciarán Cóirle?
I can't answer that. I'm not the whip. But listening
would
to
you imagine so?
Listening to the government whip this morning on Claire Byrne, first and foremost, Mary Butler said she had full confidence in Verona Murphy. And secondly, and Helen McEntee has said this evening, has come out of their parliamentary party meeting as well, it will be 95-74 of a vote result. So that to me would indicate that they will be whipped.
OK, we'll get into what might happen after that. But first of all, just on the motion of no confidence, or calling for the Ciarán Cóirle to go. Conor Sheehan.
Well, the first thing I would say, Colm, is that this is deeply regrettable that we have found ourselves at this position at this early juncture. I mean, Verona Murphy, the first female Ciarán Cóirle, very formidable, a very intelligent politician in her own right. I think that must be said, but we need to reflect on what has led us to this juncture, and the people that have led us to this juncture are primarily an Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, and Michael Lowry. And the fact of the matter is that the job of the Ciarán Cóirle is to act as the speaker, the facilitator. She has to have, or he has to have, the confidence of the entire House.
Okay, but
that covenant has now been broken.
In withdrawing your confidence from Verona Murphy, has the opposition jumped the gun? Because the clerk of the Dáil, Peter Finnegan, prepared a report today in which he said the official report of the debate and the clerk's sheet, which is the basis for the Journal of Proceedings, the legal record of the Dáil, both confirmed the word vote Dáil was not audible in the chamber when you put your question on the order of business. This is one of the reasons that confidence has been withdrawn, for that she pressed ahead with concluding the order of business and on to any other business. It says, vote all was not audible in the chamber when you put the question on the order of business. The declaration of the result by you was therefore fully in accordance with standing orders. Do you take any cognizance of that in pressing ahead with the course of action you're pressing ahead with?
That's Peter Finnegan's interpretation of what happened and the Count Corla's interpretation. The fact of the matter is we have audio recordings, we have a video file, we also have a transcript.
Of vote all being shouted?
Of vote all being shouted. It was clearly audible from opposition benches. Like, it was absolutely chaotic what happened yesterday. Never before in the history of the state has, you know, such a stroke ever being literally railroaded through. I mean, it would have made Charlie Haughey blush.
But you're going to another level there now, Conor. Sorry for interrupting.
No,
but
no,
you're just after going to another level there. Like, it's one thing us politicians having swipes off each other, but we're now saying that the most highest person in the civil service within the Oireachtas actually is after producing a report, and we don't accept that report.
Well, I'm saying, and with respect, that we have an audio recording, and we can, and I. It was very clear. I shouted vote all myself.
You shouted vote all yourself.
I shouted vote all myself. We all did. But it was absolutely chaotic what happened in the Dáil.
Could you
yesterday.
Understand, Rory Hearn, why possibly the Cian Corla, in the heat of the moment, didn't hear it, perhaps?
Well, I think...
Is it possible it wasn't heard?
Well, when I was looking at it in there, you know, and hearing it in terms of, you know, that chaos... I think she should have taken a different response at that point in time.
I know, but that's not the question I asked.
No,
obviously the stenographers, if the stenographers didn't record it, there's one person who hasn't heard it. Verona Murphy, you know, whether you want to judge her course of action by whether she heard it or not, appears not to have heard it. And Peter Finnegan, the clerk of the Dáil, says that it wasn't heard. So is it possible she didn't hear it?
I don't think so. When you look at the... You know, when you listen to it, and it was clear it was being said during the Dáil. And I think that it's not just that moment, that it is the situation that has been allowed to reach that point, which I think is her responsibility and the Taoiseach's responsibility. And I think to get us to this point where democracy is being undermined in that. This is the reality. And the Taoiseach accepted, no, this is
okay.
really, really important.
No, it is, absolutely.
But
they have a separate role. So Verona Murphy's initial intervention in this was to write a report saying that there was precedent for people to be in technical groups who had supported the government in the past. She then reversed that and said that Michael Lowry and the group of regional independents couldn't be declared opposition.
And we accepted that.
Which you accepted. So is there a bit of selectively accepting things?
No, I don't think so. I think it was quite
confidence
clear
if it goes your own way.
No, I don't agree at all. I think that what's happened here is it is, and I described it before, it's Schlieveen politics, and it has brought us back to a days we thought were finished with. Michael Lowry, who the Moriarty Tribunal profound to be corrupt. The government brings him in as a kingmaker in making a new government. As part of the price of that government, Verona Murphy was put in as the Cian Corla. And it is all unravelled for them because they thought they had an arrogance about how they went about this. They thought they would get away with it. They thought Lowry and his crew would get their time.
To the top of the moment,
I do think, though, there is to a certain extent, you have to look at how the opposition did behave yesterday and whether or not it was heard or not heard by Verona Murphy. There was numerous times when Verona Murphy would stand, and the rule is that when the chair stands that everybody else takes their seat, and there's a certain amount of respect for that. Consistently that did not happen. So if Verona Murphy did take the stand and she wasn't able to hear anything, you know, there is a certain amount of that as well. So if you're going to be able, if everyone wants to be able to hear everybody and what, whether or not a vote has been, I'm not saying that it was or was not said, you're, Conor, saying that he did call for a vote on the order of business. Like, the opposition kind of has to work collectively, everybody has to work together so that we can hear what is being said, what everybody's going to be saying. If the chair is going to stand, everybody has to respect that.
And in that context, she should have gone, I can't, you know, make a decision here. I can't push forward an order of business.
So you were going to
because
pull you
I can't
out of the
hear.
Chair.
No. Hang on. Can I finish?
Yeah.
That the point was, I think the Dáil needed to be stopped at that point in time. and either to be suspended or because some intervention was required. Because what the result of it was, she essentially facilitated the pushing through of what the government wanted.
Okay.
No, but look at I'm outside the room looking in at what was going on, and absolutely, all I could see was people on their feet, people screaming, and the Ciarán Cóirle said, I am risen. I am on my feet. She said that numerous times. Mm. I am on your feet. That was a direct indication, because there is actually rules that and respect. And there was no rules adhered to yesterday. That there was no respect shown. But in actual fact, what you were trying to do was actually move it to the fact that you could have had it suspended, because it just seemed that she had your own ideas as well. But by shouting her down,
because she
all right. I am a second. Okay.
But is that how
okay.
You do all right. It well, isn't how okay. You do business.
All right. Okay. One voice at a time. Conor Sheehan's the next voice. Have you published this audio material, or and if not, do you intend to publish the audio material that you have of Vauthoil being shouted, which would appear to be in direct contravention of what the clerk is saying?
Well, the audio material, like the video material, is available on the Oireachtas Hour Lease.
Right, so it's
you can see, like in it is my view, and it is our view, that you can very clearly hear Vauthoil being called. But what happened yesterday, was very, very unfortunate. And it was something, to be honest, that personally I was deeply very uncomfortable with. Like, this whole idea of having to, you know, shout to ensure proper parliamentary procedure is adhered to is absolutely, it goes against every fibre of my being. And I really don't think, Cullum, as well, that like that would have necessarily happened. Say, for example, had Seán O'Farrell been in the chair of the previous Ciarán Cóirle, because I don't think this issue would have been allowed spill onto the floor of the Dáil, because promised.
Just
Hildegard Nocton's wording was read into the record of the Dáil on the 23rd of January, which said that a resolution to this that would work for both government and opposition would be found, and that covenant was broken.
Okay, do you accept that, you know, by agreement suggests implicitly maybe compromise on both sides?
Well, the fact of the matter is, we asked repeatedly for a leaders' meeting with the Taoiseach. My party leader, Ivana, she's constructive, but by nature, had looked for
that,
and that request
was denied. And that's why the whips meet with the government whip. But that's why the whips meet. That's why we have a business committee. What is the role of the business committee if the relevant whips go into a room and can't come out with consensus? What's the purpose of it?
But as far as I understand it, that there was an impasse on the business committee from all sides, and that the government chief whip was intent on driving this through.
Tabitha, the story at this stage, it began where it began, but the next chapter in it will become the focus, and that is the vote over the Ciarán Cóirle's future, and then the government has the numbers to carry that, and then it becomes the Ciarán Cóirle's ability to discharge her job, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think it's that question of whether the Ciarán Cóirle's position is tenable or not, regardless of whether or not there's a vote on confidence or no confidence in her. Like you said, the government has the majority. So when this vote does happen next week, and I know we've heard that there's the chance that the government will put forward their own motion of confidence, regardless of what that is or what that looks like, it'll be passed because the government has the numbers. And as we understand it now, that the government is backing Fiona Murphy, they're very much on her side and they are supportive of her as Ciarán Cóirle. So if that goes ahead, where does it go from there? And I think that's it. Will we continue to see the likes of the scenes that we've seen yesterday, even today, back in January, that there's a motion or something that the opposition don't agree with? And will that continue where there just isn't that respect for the chair? And will that just go on and on for the 5 years of the Dáil term?
Rory Hearn, where does it go?
Well, I think that's the question up to Micheál Martin now, the Taoiseach, and the Ciarán Cóirle, it goes. I think that...
Well, if you're leaving it up to them, the public statements so far suggest they will support Fiona Murphy. Fiona Murphy's public statement suggests that she will continue in the job, and she will continue on the basis of partly supported by the clerk's report, although, as you've both outlined tonight as members of the opposition, you don't accept the clerk's report. You do believe... Did you call Vauthoil, by the way, yourself?
I didn't personally, okay, no. Right. But the people around, I heard.
Sinn Féin have described the official report on Tuesday's Dáil proceedings as, quote, deeply flawed. And it's a longer statement than that, but that's the essence of it. So where does it go? Because so far, expressing displeasure has manifested itself in people standing and objecting volubly, whether they're on mic or not.
Yeah, I think that's the question of where does it go? Because I'll bring it back to the issue, which is that the Dáil standing orders are being changed to reduce opposition time.
Not at all.
This is the point. The government have refused to listen to us, and this is the example of it tonight. They claimed to be about discussing, and as Conor outlined very clearly, they made a commitment that we would come to a common approach to this, but they instead railroaded through their own approach. And why this is really important for us, because I want to explain, because a lot of people are going, what the hell are they on about? What is this argument over? The issues around housing, around additional needs, it's all of these issues that we want to raise, and it's our role to raise as opposition, will be reduced. Our ability will be reduced as a result of this. And we have this phony opposition been put in place.
Okay. All right. Oh, you know, if anything, the message that the voting, listening, viewing public out there saw yesterday, Anne Robert, yeah, as a result of what went on at the Dáil, was a man against whom serious findings have been made in a tribunal of inquiry, raising two fingers and smiling. And it, the government is expending huge political capital on a project that began with him seeking to form a technical group. And it is persisting with this. Now, whether it's continuing to do it because government backbenchers said, we'd like some of that, and kept the wagon rolling, is one thing. That no longer matters. The image that came out of yesterday was a very happy Michael Lowry sticking up two fingers, and the government continuing in a role that's going to facilitate him having prime time speaking time. Is that a situation you're happy with?
So it's important to say that the Taoiseach addressed that today on the floor of the House when he says that there should be an apology. There was a statement made after it. And I don't condone that sort of behaviour at all. But I do think in relation to it, it was taken out of context. First and foremost, we're not allowed to have our phones on inside in the chamber to start with. No, but it's a point.
But Paul Murphy wasn't the only one.
Yeah. All right. There was a video taken, and it's a very sad reflection of the proceedings. But it was after an awful lot of shouting had taken place and everything else like that. But can I just go back?
I just want to be clear on this. Are you saying that you don't believe that was the two-finger gesture offered in the traditional fashion, that there was some other semantics that should be attached to this?
I think the two-finger gesture that was taken, I think it's a very regrettable two-finger gesture that happened. Shouldn't have happened. Right. But can I just say one thing here? Like, we keep talking about...
I want to get a listener text in first, because this is a novel suggestion that may have avoided that situation yesterday. Maybe some of the mobile phone pouches need to be introduced into the Dáil, says Mick Morrissey by email to latedebate@rte.ie. But do continue, finish.
I think really, like, this is a very serious matter. We have a lot of backbenchers who don't get the opportunity to speak. And when we were looking for consensus to finding a solution, we 58 backbenchers who don't get the opportunity to ask questions as well as you do, because, like, at the end of the day, when it comes to topicals, an extra topical has been introduced. When it comes to speaking time, you're going to now, in the Social Democrats and in the Labour Party, you're going from 10 minutes.
We lose Taoiseach's questions on Wednesday. Mm.
But in the overall context of it, Taoiseach is very available.
At the same time, these poor neglected backbenchers, the much talked about backbenchers who are locked in the dark and allowed out to see the light of Dáil Éireann, the door was only opened and the chink of light let in by Michael Lowry. I mean, the reason that this fix is being looked at is because of Michael Lowry's attempt to, first of all, become a technical group, and then when that failed, for the regional independent group to be categorised as others, and facilitate with speaking time, which then the government backbenchers could piggyback on. That is the case, isn't it?
The technical group that we're talking about hasn't spoken at all in the last number of weeks while this has been going on. And yes, backbenchers have piggybacked on it. Absolutely.
Sure, absolutely.
So let's call it what it is.
But they are the catalyst. Michael Lowry and Gillian Toole and Barry Heenan are the catalyst for this happening. I mean, Matty McGrath and Carol Nolan are stuck in a bit of a no man's land for other reasons. But, you know, the reason this started and the reason that this others option was looked at is because of Michael Lowry, isn't it?
It's facilitating everybody's democratic mandate to have speaking opportunities.
Conor Sheehan.
Colm, the inclusion of government backbenchers in this is effectively a ruse by government to try and wash the smell out of this. essentially. I mean, the fact of the matter is this is akin to, if you look at this purely in terms of the component parts, this government has three components, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the regional independents. And the last government had Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Green Party. And this is akin to half of the Green Party that wasn't ministers looking to designate as opposition. Roderick O'Gorman, to be fair to him, said as much last night. Everybody can see this as what it is. This is being done because Michael Lowry wants to have a leader's question, because he had a leader's question when he was formerly in opposition. He is now a government TD. The regional independents are government TDs. We actually made a proposal to the business committee to actually allow government backbenchers have more speaking time through the channels that are there, such as, for example, QPL, by extending QPL, which is questions on promise legislation, which, you know, to allow government backbenchers a more equitable distribution of speaking time.
Tabitha, from what you're hearing from backbenchers, what are they more exercised about? Speaking time or the expenditure of political capital to facilitate Michael Lowry having, let's face it, a high profile speaking slot every so often through the means of this others group?
Oh, I think, well, anybody that I've spoken to, it's always been about speaking time. In fairness, though, it didn't, like you were alluding to, this was never really about government backbenchers. And yes, as Anne said, they have piggybacked on this. But I think it probably has always been a grievance with backbenchers that they haven't gotten enough speaking time in the Dáil and that they've always had to share it. But yes, I think I don't get the sense that there is a huge amount, that they're concerned about the political capital that is being spent on ensuring that Michael Lowry and the regional independents get the speaking time. I think the issue is that how the business of the Dáil has been conducted, but that also that they want to be facilitated. If there are going to be changes made, that is what they want to do. But there's by no means was this part of the problem from the outset.
And how, Anne Rabbitt, do we explain the fact that they were children of a lesser god until Michael Lowry came along?
No. We always felt like a lesser god, because when I came in 2016 and the government whip, she wasn't front bench, she was a spokesperson. So she herself would have felt that.
Well, I know how people would have felt and how they would have objected in parliamentary party meetings. But the public articulation of and moves towards changing the standing orders to facilitate backbencher speaking has only happened now. And it has happened because Michael Lowry has been facilitated. I mean, this is the can you'll have to carry.
I don't agree fully that it's because we're facilitating. I also think that we have a very active government whip who has brought about a lot of change, who has put in extra topical opportunities, who has facilitated and recognised that there is a lot of new people within both parties who need the experience of getting their time on the floor of the Dáil.
But why hasn't this come up before? Have backbenchers previously gone to the Taoiseach or the Tánaiste, whoever the leader was at the time, and asked them, well, why can't you make these changes? Like, why is it happening now? That's the point. And it's the timing of it.
As I said, Tabitha, that we have a new government whip who has come in and who brings about change quite well.
Okay, heroic stuff. I'll go to the listeners. The reality is, 2.8 million people will be getting up to go to work tomorrow. I, for one, will be getting up at 5:30 a.m. in order to provide for my family. I want to see the Dáil at work, not complaining about 8 to 10 minutes speaking time per day, 2 days per week for 26 weeks of the year. Speaking time won't make a bit of difference to me and millions like me, says Martin, who's getting a bit tired of this debate because it's after 10 p.m. Well, we did try and liven it up with music, Martin, but there you go. You can't please everybody. We can always see the few TDs who are actually present in the Dáil are regularly on their phones, as another texter. Get to work, stop bickering. This whole business is embarrassing. You're being paid, do the work, says David in Dublin. We have come to a strange situation, says another, where two female leaders, the opposition, are looking for the head of the Ceann Comhairle, the first female in that role. William says it can be seen and heard in this debate on the Oireachtas website. This is a reference to the Vote Dáil word. It's as plain as day. You can hear the word Vote Dáil being called out. Also, questions remain on the initial legal advice the Ceann said she received but never produced. And into our musical themes, as we made a call out earlier for 51551087032323232 or Blue Sky at Late Debate RTE for Showdown Tunes. Don't Bring Me Down by ELO, says Caroline in Dublin 6. The opposition's theme song should be Send In The Clown, says Henry Cruz. Showdown music, how about Do Not Forsake Me, Oh My Darling, from High Noon, says Ed. And the opening theme music for Total Recall, dramatic stuff, says Cathal Lynn Balbriggan. Alrighty,